From NPR News, All Things Considered, I'm Noah Adams. For millennia, leaders have appointed poets to mark the great events of civic life. In this country, institutional poets are mostly a new phenomenon. The first official U.S. poet laureate, Robert Penn Warren, was named back in 1986. About 40 states also have poets laureate. In recent years, a growing number of cities, counties, and communities have joined the trend, naming local wordsmiths to commemorate the important moments of daily life. NPR's Andy Bowers has a report.
3 weeks ago, at a ceremony attended by civic leaders and the local congressman, Katrina Karen Canyon had a wreath of laurels placed on her head. With that, Canyon became the second official poet laureate of Sunland-Tahunga, a working-class community in the northeastern corner of Los Angeles. She was chosen by a panel of poets, artists, and other involved citizens. And Canyon says she has her work cut out for her over the 2 years of her term.
I hope to bring a more positive image on this city of cities of Sunland and Tahunga. I remember I told someone in a writer's group that I lived in Tahunga, and they said, "I thought you'd just go there for drugs." And I said, "No."
So the 32-year-old Canyon hopes to revitalize the poetic life of her community by reading at schools and by instituting an evening poetry slam. Several hundred miles to the north, Don Emblin serves as the first poet laureate of Sonoma County, California. The retired English professor and longtime poet was recently inspired by a certain ongoing problem in California.
Rolling blackout, 10 p.m. The sudden darkness is unanswerable. Whatever questions come to mind sink instantly in blind staring. Ours, its. More absolute than night that comes on by degrees, this black envelops us, our faces, arms, and legs, as though we're dropped into a sack, unwanted kittens to be drowned.
Emblin also wrote a tribute poem after the death last year of local resident and cartoonist Charles Schultz. He's written a poem to mark the opening of a high school and a wry take on the universal institution of the hometown parade with its, quote, 14 panting dachshunds, whip tails up, briskly trotting single file down Main Street, their tiny legs a twinkle.
I think it allows people to think about the county and the natural scene as well as the town. It sort of gives them permission to daydream a bit about their town or their place or the weather or the milkman or whatever.
Don Emblin is far from alone in his mission. In the last few years, communities from Toronto, Providence, and Queens, New York in the east to San Francisco, Santa Barbara, and tiny Hemet, California in the west have appointed poets laureate. Most of the positions pay nothing. Some have fixed terms, while others are open-ended. Nationally known poet David St. John, a professor at the University of Southern California, says he understands why communities are drawn to finding their own local voices.
It's great if there's a poem by Robert Frost that speaks to our dilemma, but we have somebody who lives right down the street who is able to write poems which speak not only to our daily lives, but to our emotional lives as well.
St. John, in part, credits one recent U.S. poet laureate, Robert Pinsky, with sparking this trend. Pinsky traveled the country extensively in the mid-90s, collecting and showcasing local poetry. But St. John also credits a general resurgence in American verse.
I see this all as part of a much larger phenomenon, and that's people's sense that they can take back the ferocity and beauty and clarity of language that's been stolen from them by the media and by the political discourse of our time.
Plus, having a local poet laureate creates a sort of go-to person when something happens in town that needs thoughtful comment. In Tampa, Florida, police officer Lois Marrero was killed while pursuing a bank robbery suspect in July. Tampa's poet laureate of 5 years, James Toakley, quickly wrote a tribute to the fallen officer, which he read to the crowd at a Tampa Bay Devil Rays baseball game and which appeared in the local newspaper.
If courage made the measure as to who was big or small, then the officer we honor was the tallest of them all. On a day that gave no quarter, cramped and deadly hand to hand, this city's bravest daughter cast a shadow tall and grand, for in the sacred line of duty is the knowledge bittersweet that death is a constant partner on a never-ending beat.
Toklie, a beloved local writer, was selected by Tampa's mayor and city council to become poet laureate in 1996. Although his appointment is open-ended, he plans to step down next year. After all, it is a lot of work.
I write poems for people's birthdays. People come to me and ask me if I would write a poem for funerals. As a matter of fact, sometimes I think I write too many funeral poems, and I have nightmares about waking up one morning and being called the funeral poem fellow.
But for Toklie, the most satisfying poems are those he writes about Tampa itself, like this one about his old neighborhood.
Boom, leggy, boom, boom, hot dog. Now, if I could, I surely would, just bop down the block where the black fox stood, and when I die, just bury me high up close to the stars in the red top bar. Boom, boom, leggy, boom, boom.
Many poets hope this local trend will expose more people to the art form, but Suzanne Lummis has one reservation. Lummis is sometimes called the unofficial poet laureate of Los Angeles, which has no such formal position. She says if local politicians appoint mediocre poets to be official bards, it will raise a fundamental question.
Does bad poetry draw people to poetry? Or does it draw people simply to other bad poetry? Or does it turn people away from poetry because it is bad?
But those questions will probably never be answered, says Lummis, since you don't often see opinion polls about the impact of poetry on society. Andy Bowers, NPR News, Los Angeles.